Side Hustle Show 78, building a full-time freelancing business.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 78, How to Build a Full-Time Freelancing Business. I believe this is one of the fastest ways to achieve workplace freedom. And my guest, Carrie Smith from carefulsense.com, that's sense like dollars and cents, is going to walk us through how she got started, how she landed her first clients, and how she commands premium prices in the marketplace. Now, as is per the usual, all my notes and highlights along with Carrie's top tips are compiled for you in a free downloadable PDF at sidehustlenation.com/78 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. I've actually been following along with Carrie's journey for quite a while through her blog, at least it seems like quite a while, from when she started out as a side hustler to growing her business to when she eventually quit her job and went full-time. So very excited to have her on and share some of the tactics behind how she made it happen. Pretty good stuff. So news and updates before we get into it. I'm on my quest for 100 iTunes reviews by the end of the year. I'm sitting at 90 in the U.S. store right now. So a couple quick shouts for new five-star iTunes reviews. This one's coming in from Julie Sharon Osher. She says, why am I only finding the show now? If you're a side hustler, this is the only podcast you need to listen to. Julie, thank you so much for that. I know you're lying because you've got a couple shows of your own, including the Time Hackers podcast. I was recently a guest on talking about productivity hacks and including my personal favorite, no meetings on Fridays. I had to invoke that rule this week. Another one comes in from Immortal. He or she says, five stars, fantastic content. Many of the guests are people I've never heard of, which is great because they provide fresh perspective and more tactical advice than you might get from the better known gurus. Guys, thank you so much for those. Keep them coming at sidehustlenation.com/iTunes. Very, very much appreciated. All right, let's do this. Hey, Carrie, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hi, thank you.
Everybody, Carrie is the founder of carefulsense.com. She's a former small business accountant who paid off $14,000 in debt and made the leap from a side hustler to a full-time entrepreneur specializing in freelance writing and editing. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me. Let's figure out how do I get started with being a freelancer? How did you get started in this business?
Sure thing. I actually started it as a sort of, well, I definitely needed to make some extra money. Like you said, I was in $14,000 of debt and I was trying to turn my life around. I was a single person back then. So I just decided that all my time was going to be spent working, you know, to dig myself out of this hole. So aside from my day job,
student debt, credit card debt?
Well, it was an auto loan. Okay. And credit cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I, on top of my day job, I decided I wanted to start some freelance writing, specifically in the financial space, since that was my background. And I honestly just started reaching out to a couple of banks that I already used myself personally, and a couple other financial websites that I subscribed to or read regularly. And I told them that I was starting up my freelance writing and I used, you know, their service or I read their stuff and I'd love to contribute for free.
Okay.
And they took me up on that, most of them. I had the chance to meet a couple of them at the Financial Blogger Conference, which was what it was called back in 2011. And I was able to connect with a couple other financial companies and brands there and take it to the next level and start, you know, charging a little bit, building up my portfolio. And I had my website, which also started in the summer of 2011. So I was able to display my writing skills, my voice, and also my portfolio on my website that I was building. So that's how I got started.
Amazing story. So you this is 2011. Hey, I realize that this is not the position I want to be in financially. Here's a skill that I have, or an interest I have in finance.
And were you always like a writer, or how did you figure out, I know that this is something I could even do on the side?
Actually, it's so funny because you know how, like, as kids, the last thing you want to do is turn into your parents. And I'm totally turning into my parents because they're both my mom was an English professor and my dad is a published author. So it's kind of in my blood. I never thought I would go that direction, but I thought, hey, you know, let me lean into that a little bit since I have, you know, really good parents, you know, in that area too. And so I tested it out and I really liked it. Like I said, I never even started this side hustle to quit my job. Like, my goal was not to transition into a full-time online business owner or anything like that. I just started it as a way to make a little extra income and also get a break from my daily accounting job.
Did you feel there was some obligation, hey, I don't have a portfolio, so I'm going to have to volunteer my services for free out of the gate?
Well, I put that pressure on myself, I guess, because I did not want to, you know, go through the job boards and get those really terrible gigs. At times they can be terrible. And find real, you know, cause they don't really, you have to spend a lot of time to go through them and find the ones that are a good fit for you. So I didn't want to do that. I wanted to sort of build it on my own.
Be an example of the jobs board.
Well, you mean like a specific website or something?
Like the ProBlogger jobs board or like freelance sites?
Yes. Well, I mean, ProBlogger is actually a pretty decent job board. You will find some random things on there that may not be a good fit, but also, you know, like the Simply Hired website or like even Monster or things like that, where people were looking for writers to put on their team. I just didn't find any of those helpful. So I just decided to go about it my own way. And it takes a little bit longer, you know, to build up your own portfolio and work for free. But I also wanted to make connections with people in the industry since I was starting at ground zero. And I felt like that was the best way to sort of get their advice and their help and their connection to sort of mentor me while I was building my writing on the side.
I think it makes a lot of sense to focus on that one industry, because a lot of people will say, hey, I'm a freelance writer, and they'll take, you know, any job they can get instead of saying, hey, I'm a freelance financial writer, and targeting these specific banks, these specific sites that you were already reading. You kind of had a warm introduction in that sense. And let's talk about going to the conference, to the Financial Bloggers Conference. There's a little bit of investment up front. Like, was that scary to make when you're not making any money from this and you're still in debt?
Yes, it was. I actually was not going to go. And I have a really good friend that I knew in real life who is actually the conference. He's the person who started it and owns it, Phil Taylor. Mm-hmm. And so he encouraged me to go. And he said, I will even give you a discount on the ticket and if you can make everything else work. And he's like, I really think you're good at this. And I had written for his site before, too. And so I guess he saw a little bit of potential there. Okay. And so thankfully, he kind of was the person who believed in me and helped me get that start and encouraged me to go. And I've been every year since. And it's one of those conferences that I look forward to and I create a line in the budget for every every year. And I'm really excited that I went and was encouraged by him.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I haven't been to that conference yet, but I've heard nothing but good things. And so hopefully we'll be able to make it out there.
Yes, you must come.
It seems like it's a pretty cool community. I feel like I'm on the shoulders of the financial blogger space, not necessarily talking about credit cards and interest rates and accounting and investing and stuff, or like alternative investments, or like, side hustle, more on the money making side than the saving money side, but a little bit of both.
But that's okay though, because when I started, I aimed for just personal finance, and as my writing career grew and I sort of evolved as a writer and an entrepreneur myself, my focus niche has definitely changed. And so, as you mentioned in my intro, I focus a lot on small businesses, entrepreneurs, and freelancers, how they can make a living and manage their finances. So mine's not as broad anymore, but I still enjoy the community and it's definitely open, you know, to anyone in that space.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. at what point did you transition to say, hey, I've got to charge money now. I've got to earn some money off of this. What was that like? How did that conversation go with some of these sites to start getting paid?
Yeah, I probably took too long, you know, to make that transition. I was able to get some paying gigs that were separate from the free ones. So some people were paying me and had been paying me from the beginning, due to my portfolio from the free ones that I had built up. But then transitioning the free ones into the paid work definitely took a little bit of negotiating and sort of selling myself on, you know, I've been writing for you for, I think it was about 4 to 6 months, most of them, for free. And, you know, how has it been, you know, beneficial, and what have you seen out of it? And, you know, making sure that I highlighted the comments or the shares or, you know, the really good research behind it or whatever, so that they would transition me into paying. And I would say, you know, going forward, I'll be charging X amount of dollars if you would like to continue me writing for you. And, you know, if not, I dropped them and pursued other writing opportunities that I was getting through my website then, and other leads.
Gotcha. What was the reaction from some of these guys?
Most of them were okay with that. And a few of them even gave me testimonials, you know, for my website and my portfolio, and started paying me. So that it actually worked out pretty well.
Now, how do you set your rates? Because you can find freelance writers, you know, in quotes, like, you know, from anywhere, for like on Fiverr, you know, for $5 a piece, like all the way up to, you know, $50, $100 an article. Like, where do you fall in this range?
Yes. Actually, I set a minimum for myself because of my background. So I knew a lot about accounting, a lot about taxes, what it takes to run a small business, handling like the financial aspect of budgeting and all that, staying organized with small businesses. And so I kind of leaned in on my past experience to create my rates for what I was charging people, so that they would know that, yes, they are paying me a little bit more, but I also have the knowledge and, you know, the skill to back it up, instead of having to hire someone to research it. So
okay.
I targeted, you know, people who were small businesses or financial companies that wanted to write about organization or financial tips or something like that, entrepreneurs and things like that. So I think that's the main thing, you know, like, what skills do you already have and how can you lean into that, showing your expertise, and so you can get paid a little bit more. Now I actually customize my rates per client. Not only knowing their personality and what the industry they're in, but also, you know, like, I'll work with a startup and their budget isn't as high as a well-established business or company that I write for. So I will charge them a little bit less versus the company who I'll charge more. Okay. And also based on, you know, the amount of research and time and things like that, the topic even.
Do you set it up on like per delivery, per article basis, per word, or do you have like a monthly retainer? I'm gonna write 4 articles a month for you, or, you know, for X.
You know, again, I kind of customize it. I generally charge a certain rate, so it's like not under $150. Like, that's my starting, and then above that,
does that get me as a client?
It gets you a regular article between 400 and 600 words.
Okay.
And then above that,
one a month.
Right. Well, okay. It's just, yeah, it's just
per article. Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've been doing it for like 3.5 years, and I've worked a lot for the $25 and $50 articles.
That's okay. Nobody's paid me that much for an article. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I do write about like taxes and, running a small business and things like that. So it's a little bit more in-depth topics, but I mean, to me, they're fun.
Okay.
So I do have sort of like a base, and then I do charge by the word as well as, you know, like a bracket. If it's between a certain amount of words, it's this much. Like, I don't, you know, haggle for every cent.
Yeah. 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 You get filler words in there. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, exactly. So, most of my clients are pretty flexible and they're good with that. A good amount of them pay me 50% upfront, it's one of my requirements. And then if, you know, so it also helps me realize that they're going to be good to work with, because if they don't pay you up front, you're probably not going to get the payment on the back end.
Okay. Sounds like that kind of weeds like that's out. A lesson you maybe learned the hard way.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you. I was like thinking this was the best client ever, and I was going to make like $500 off of this series. It was like 3 or 4 articles or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't get paid for 3 months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was terrible.
That's no good.
Yeah. So, but now I learned my lesson, and I did enact that into my, you know, contract. And then I do try to go for the ongoing sort of reoccurring clients. And most of the time it's 1 or 2 articles a month. Sometimes it's weekly. But the recurring clients are sort of your bread and butter. And so that's what makes it. I don't really actually do many one-off gigs. I have done them, but I prefer to establish that relationship and then continue to grow, you know, because as a writer, you have a certain voice. And so when you publish an article on a certain website and you do it multiple times over the next weeks and months, the readers get used to your story and they get invested in you and they want to learn more. And when I write, I definitely share my personal experience and perspective. So it is a much more personal sort of story.
Yeah.
And so the people who hire me know that and like that. And so it's good to keep that relationship going.
Absolutely. And then you don't have to be, you know, always hustling to find new business.
Yes, exactly.
Now, do you have at a certain point, like you're still doing, you know, doing the work, it takes hours to write these articles. How's your bandwidth in terms of bringing on new business, in terms of like I'm running out of hours in the day to deliver this work?
That is always something I feel like I'm working on, you know, like and during the summer I took time off, and then it was like I took too much time off because I got a little bored. And then now I've been ramping it back up again and taking on a few more clients. So I kind of just go with the ebb and flow. Sometimes clients are not willing to give you a raise, or they have start having demands or their budget changes or whatever. And so I will phase out certain clients while also bringing new ones in. Always trying to keep an eye on how long it takes me and how much time is invested versus the amount of, you know, like money I'm getting paid. But one thing I did learn in the past few months is not just to focus on the time management, but also how much, you know, headspace and energy drain is this on me as while I'm working? Is it a topic that I just like dread and I can't do, you know, or is it really difficult and take a lot of like research or something? With editing, especially, are there particular writers who are submitting work that are just constantly under par and you're just having to keep, you know, upgrading their work? So I try and focus on not just if it pays well, because I do work for $50 an article and I have clients that do that, but their articles are so fun to write. They're super personal and I get to help people. And so that's, you know, not just the time and money, but also the energy and the enjoyment aspect of it.
Absolutely. It's got to be something, and something we've talked about on several shows. It's like if you have a side hustle that you hate, like that's the last thing you need. If you're trying
totally
to break free from your day job or do something that you enjoy in your part time, do something that you care about, which it sounds like, you know, you found something that I'm kind of curious, like how many words a day are you pumping out on a routine basis?
You know, that would actually be fun to calculate. I do about 1 to 2 articles per day, including my own blog and things like that.
Okay.
So I would say probably just off the top of my head, you know, around 1,500 words a day. It's nothing terrible.
Okay.
No,
that's
doable.
And
I can do it in a couple hours.
Yeah, it takes, that's fast. It takes me a long time to write. I have a very hard time like writing in rough draft mode and, you know, be very picky and all that stuff, like formatting wise and all this nonsense. But
yeah,
you're a pro.
Well, like I said, almost so 3.5 years. Yeah. And I am able to pump out my first draft pretty quickly. I spend equal time or maybe more on adding actionable tips and editing it and making sure the structure and the flow is correct. Like I said, my mom was a grammar Nazi basically. And So I spend a lot of time, like, I just get the foundation there, and then I work on the piece and making sure, you know, it has really good personal anecdotes and things like that too. And so, but I have got it down kind of to a good rhythm and a science.
That's awesome. You ever bid for work on Elance, Odesk, Text Broker, Hire Writers, any of these kind of freelance marketplaces or writing marketplaces?
No, I don't. I've never done that. I have worked with people on those sites as far as like looking for team members to help me with certain things. But no, I've never personally had experience with it. And I don't really recommend it, you know, to, I don't know. It's just my personal opinion, but I have a couple of consulting clients that I work with, and I work with other writers to help them jumpstart their career. Mm-hmm. And I don't advise that they start out on job boards or sites like that. I like the way that I did it. It takes a little bit longer, but you build a better foundation. But if you are on those websites, I think it could be a good way to, you know, a good thing to leverage by starting your own website and then using those experiences and the good testimonials and the reviews that they've shared and sharing them on your writing portfolio site to get leads off of, like, away from Elance or Odesk.
Yeah. You're setting yourself up. It's a lot of competition there, and maybe the, you maybe the buyers of that service view it more as a commodity service versus a specialty service that only you can provide.
Right, exactly. It does depend on what you're writing about too. So if you're okay with writing about anything and everything and you just want to get some experience under your belt, then that's a great opportunity to start working with clients and getting to know how that process goes. But if you are being super specific like I was when I started and you know what you want to target and the kind of people you want to work with, it may not be the best fit.
So when you're pitching Huffington Post or something, how does that go? Like, is that a paid gig or is that just for exposure?
It's just for exposure.
Okay, because they're big enough where they don't have to pay their writers?
Well, yes, they are. It still drives a good amount of traffic for me every month. So I always weigh, you know, because exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it's definitely helpful to build up your reputation and say, like, you know, I'm a published writer on Yahoo Finance or Huffington Post or whatever. But when those opportunities don't continue to pay out in a non-monetary form, that's when you need to switch over to not publishing with them anymore or somebody else who can still give you good exposure, but also the money with it.
Gotcha. Are you doing any, like, any books in the works, like, to scale this thing up and get paid, you know, multiple times for one piece of work?
Yes, I avoided that for quite a few years on my blog because I didn't want to be a sellout and I didn't want to just add to the noise, you know. So I took a long time to decide what I was going to publish. And in actually this month, I have like three different things going on. I kind of stress myself out with that. But I'm working on a really fun tax guide for solopreneurs that'll be released next year. And also I'm collaborating on a personal finance e-course for entrepreneurs with another, it's called One Woman Shop, and they're an online business too. So that's it. Those are a couple of really fun ones that I'm doing, and those will be sort of the content that I've written about or talked about and, you know, put into a new format and added some really cool things that I've learned since. So I'm looking forward to it.
Very cool. Very cool. Is it just you on the team right now? You kind of solo operator, or you mentioned, hey, I'm looking for other people to help me out.
I actually have two contractors who work with me every month, and then I have a couple of writers that I hire to share their own perspective and their story. So two team members and two writers right now, ongoing. And I have an assistant editor and then a social media content manager. So she helps me out on social, and then my assistant editor makes sure that everything I put out it, you know, on my site is good and you can read it.
Wow. So you're running a little bit of an agency, a little bit of a crew here.
Yeah. I've been doing it, I guess, for about 2 years. I started before I quit my job, and I started outsourcing a couple of tasks so I could have a little bit more of my time free. And also I'm a big believer in, like, you know, focus on the things that you're really good at and you love, and then give other people the opportunity to focus on what they love and what they're skillful at to contribute to your team. You know, so not just outsourcing the stuff that you hate to someone else who hates it too, but finding somebody who loves what they, you know, you can't do or don't like doing, right, and that they can bring it to the next level. So that has been a huge thing for me. And I call myself a little bit of a solopreneur, but I don't do it alone. You know, you know that too. It's like you have your husband's support or your wife's support and your family and, you know, all the people online and different things that help you get your business going and running. And they're a huge help to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When was it, you know, you said I didn't start out with the intention of quitting my job, but that's the path that I went down. So walk me through that decision. When did you know it was like, okay, I could do this as a full-time business?
I started in January 2013. I forgot what year it was. And I hired a side hustle coach. That's what her thing was at the moment.
Awesome. Who is that?
Actually her name is Steph Gordon, but I don't think she's doing that anymore.
Okay. Yeah. I don't recognize the name. I'll have to look
it up. I know. I'm so sad. I'm not working with her anymore. I worked with her for over a year. Wow. And, yes, she took me from, well, like I said, I started with her as a side hustle coach and I wasn't thinking of quitting, and it kind of turned into my full-time business coach after that. So that was in January of 2013, and it got to the point where the goals and aspirations that I had for my business were getting thrown to the side because of my full-time job. And I didn't want to sacrifice, you know, my full-time jobs, the attention or the effort I put in there, because I've been there for over a decade at that point. And I loved the people I worked with. I loved the job and, you know, everything was great, but I saw the potential for other things to be better, you know, I guess, with the online business and the side hustle. So it got to a point where I couldn't keep sacrificing one or the other. And so I actually tried to negotiate, you know, working less at my job, but still keeping it and maybe hiring an assistant or office manager or something like that to help out. Mm-hmm. And they were an older couple in their 70s. And A, I don't know why they didn't retire, but B, they weren't. Yeah.
Okay.
My boss. They weren't really open to working less. They needed somebody there all the time.
Okay, okay.
So kind of got an ultimatum there and ended up having to shift the side hustle into a full-time business, which, you know, I guess is a really good reason to have a side hustle anyways, even if you don't plan to do anything, because you never know what can happen.
You never know. That's the thing. It's, you know, building up a little bit of a security blanket, a little bit of a parachute for you. And that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. Carrie, if somebody is getting started, so you mentioned, hey, I'm going to go out and kind of pitch these companies. Like if you were in your shoes, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I'm going to get started as a freelancer, maybe not a freelance writer, but a freelancer in whatever aspect that is. I'm going to niche it down and say, this is what I want to work on. What are kind of like the 20% of actions that might yield the 80% of results that somebody might have to spend, you know, 5-10 hours a week working towards?
Definitely seek out a mentor in the form of somebody you can work for. So somebody in the industry that you look up to and that you find super inspiring. And if and when they have a job opening, apply for it and see if you can get paid to learn, basically.
Okay.
That's what I did. And it was a really awesome opportunity. And I learned everything about, you know, the business on the ground floor of how to launch an online business, how to become a freelance writer, what editors look for, all that stuff.
This was through your side hustle coach, or there's somebody else?
No, it was just through somebody else who she needed a marketing writer and someone who was an assistant to her business. And so I applied for the job and got it. And that was a really, you know, I think that was the turning point where it wasn't just something I was doing on the side. It was something that I was seriously interested in.
Okay.
So definitely see if you can find somebody who you look up to And if they have a job opening or even an opportunity to be your mentor, just like to answer questions once a month or something, take them out for coffee.
Right. You may get some applications after this show.
Well, to be honest, I had someone do that to me a couple months ago. She reached out to me and said, I would love to just ask you some questions and pick your brain, you know, so I can get my writing business started. And when I started working with her, I was just like, wow, she's such a go-getter and so smart to reach out to me and ask for this. And actually, we work together right now in a sort of coaching capacity.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, it turned into something really cool. And I was able to help her launch her business. And she has her own website now. And she's actually quitting her job at the end of the year. So.
Wow, it's awesome. You're like, it's come full circle. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see that. And I didn't, you know, expect that to happen, but that's definitely a smart move if you're starting out to reach out to someone. And I mean, you know, what could they say? No.
Yeah. So, no, worst case scenario. It's like, yeah. I'm no worse off. Everyone check Carrie out at carefulsense.com. Definitely one of my favorite blogs I'm following every week. And we'll wrap things up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Oh my gosh. Number one tip. You are your most important asset. So put yourself first, invest in you, make sure that self-care is the number one priority, and everybody else will be cared for after that.
Oh, I don't think we've had that one before. That's a good one.
I learned that one the hard way.
Awesome. Carrie, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I totally forgot how stuffed up I was when we recorded that. Gosh, I sounded horrible. Thank you for bearing with me through all that. Feeling much better now. This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Website Magazine, the magazine for website success. Side Hustle Nation listeners can get a 100% free subscription at sidehustlenation.com/WM. That's a WM for Website Magazine. No catch, no strings attached. It's a real print magazine delivered to your door or your mailbox, filled with great content for anyone working online. I've been a subscriber myself for the past couple years and have yet to pay a dime for it, but still find a ton of value in the issues on everything from social media tools and tactics, apps and analytics, email strategies, blogging, and SEO tips. Really good stuff. I think you'll be impressed. Check out the free subscription offer for Website Magazine at sidehustlenation.com/WM. Now, I'm as guilty as the next guy when it comes to neglecting the self-care, which I know is bad because when I get super busy, my workout is the first thing that gets cut. And it's weird because, you know, a lot of times if I can force myself to take that time out to exercise, even if it's just like 15, 20 minutes, I feel actually way more productive and feel better the rest of the time. So a pretty good tip on that one and not one we've had yet. So thank you, Carrie, for sharing that. Again, all my notes and highlights along with Carrie's top freelancing tips are available in a free downloadable PDF for you at sidehustlenation.com/78 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. And that includes our impromptu Ladies Month here on the podcast. Had a bit of a dude fest going on for a while and happy to break up that streak with some awesome entrepreneurial women making it happen. In fact, the more the merrier. So if there's anyone you'd like to hear on the show, definitely let me know. Until next time, go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 79. Happy Halloween and hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.